axes. Without warning, Dagon's power blasted from him like a bomb going off. It froze time in the room, rolling over me before catching Ian in its pitiless grip. Just as fast, I let mine loose, releasing Ian from his paralysis before Dagon could take so much as a step toward him. I don't think so. I barely recognized my own voice from the growl that came out of my throat. Dagon stared at me as if he'd suddenly seen a stranger, too. Then he laughed.
Look at you, girl! Full of power now that you're all grown up.
Then he took in a deep sniff and laughed again.
From your scent, you've been mixing your work with play, too. Not that I blame you. I couldn't resist Ian either.
I swung a horrified glance at Ian. You didn't. Dagon took advantage of that by leaping around Ian to slam a fist into my stomach. The impact knocked me through all the remaining walls in the funhouse and into the tilt-a-whirl behind it. I hit that hard enough to crack my skull, then shook my head to clear it as I looked back at the funhouse. Ian and Dagon burst through its roof. They were grappling in midair, each landing punishing blows on the other. Dagon tried freezing time again. I blasted his spell apart before Ian even slowed down. Then I grabbed my second bone knife, about to fly toward them, when a fresh sizzle of power hit my back like a swarm of stinging hornets. I whirled around to see who it was and... what the hell? Dagon was behind me. I spared a glance to confirm that another Dagon was still in the air fighting with Ian. He was. The demon had indeed arrived with reinforcements. As an extra trick, he'd glamored all of them to look like him. Now I didn't know which was the real Dagon. Didn't matter. We just kill them all. This Dagon grinned before disappearing in a clear attempt to teleport the rest of the way to me. I tightened my hand around the bone knife and flew at the spot where I'd last seen him. Seconds later, he appeared back in that same place, frowning. Surprise, I thought nastily. The complex web Ian and I had spent days casting over the entire park meant demons could teleport into it, but they couldn't teleport within the park's limits again. I slammed into him, shoving my knife into his eye at the same time. The force smashed us both through the tilt-a-whirl I'd recently cracked my head against. Its heavy steel frame tore as we hurtled through both sides of it, the jagged metal ripping into my flesh. The double impact was so violent, I missed when I aimed for the demon's other eye. He punched me in the head. My vision went dark, and horrible crunching noises exploded in my skull. I managed to tear away before he landed another one, flying blind until my eyes healed enough to see again. When they did, everything was still blurry. I blinked until I saw a shadowy image of the demon running beneath me, something large in his hands. Carousel pony, I realized as he hurled it at me. I dodged far enough for it to miss most of me, though its legs struck my shoulder with a glancing blow. I blinked rapidly, trying to force my vision to heal faster.
Did you lose something, girl?
The demon taunted in Sumerian, holding up a small object this time. A few more blinks, and I saw it was my demon bone knife. But that wasn't what made me feel as though I'd been hit by a car. His voice and scent was the same as Dagon's. The glamour Dagon had used had been thorough. But the way this demon said, girl, with one more syllable than the ancient language called for, I remembered a demon who used to pronounce it that way. Fenkir, I said, hate slicing deeper than the metal had. Dagon's face grinned back at me, but the one eye that wasn't blackened out and smoking. I knew the person staring back at me from that eye, no matter what color and shape it came in.
Girl,
Fenkir said, deliberately dragging out the only word he and the others had called me back when I'd been their captive.
This time, when I kill you, you'll stay dead.
And he wagged the demon bone knife at me. I'd never been murdered by demon bone through the eyes before, so it was possible. Perhaps they knew my father was actually a different sort of demon. I wasn't about to ask. I also wasn't going to let the fear of permanent death stop me. I only paused to cast a split-second glance Ian's way. He and Dagon were still trading blows that leveled everything in their path, but Ian didn't seem to need my help at the moment. And I really wanted to show Fenkir how far I'd come since I had been the traumatized, broken girl he'd last seen. I held my arms out, Wind began to blow my hair around as the power I summoned spilled out into the air around me. Fenkir cocked his head, squinting with his one eye as he watched.
Are you too much of a coward to come down and fight?
Don't worry. I'm coming. The power built, fueled by memories I finally freed because they gave it fuel. When it grew enough to make my skin burn, as if something inside was trying to claw its way out, I aimed that power right at Fenkir and released it. He screamed. A pitiless part of me enjoyed hearing it. Told you I was coming. Here I am. Then he ran. My power continued to laser into him with concentrated beams. His legs became sluggish. I flew at him right as he tripped. He rolled when he fell, holding the bone knife in front of him while an expression I'd never seen before crossed his features. Panic. If I were Fenkir, I'd pause to savor that expression on my victim's face. Then I'd take my time torturing that person instead of delivering a clean kill. I'd also laugh while promising to stop if he or she begged me pathetically enough. But of course I wouldn't. And I would laugh again as I continued the torture. That was Fenkir. It wasn't me. I landed on him with all the force I could muster. It broke my legs, but it shattered his rib cage and spine. The momentary paralysis made it easy for me to rip the bone knife from his hand. Then I stabbed it through both his eyes, even though one was still blackened and smoking. I was off him again, before his body had a chance to start deflating. Fenkir loved drawing out the pain before he killed people. I just wanted justice served. For him, it finally was. I yanked the bone knife out of Fenkir's eye and flew back toward the funhouse. Ian and the other Dagon were no longer there. They'd moved their battle near the rusted paratrooper ride. Two of the mock metal parachutes were torn from their perch when Dagon threw Ian into them. I flew faster and grabbed Ian's arm, spinning him around before he could fly back to attack again. Not here, I urged in a low voice. Enough of the bloodlust left his gaze for him to nod, but Ian also had actual blood all over him. I hoped some of it was Dagon's. From the crimson line streaking the demon, it could be. But was this really Dagon? Or another glamoured demon? I had to find out. Fenkir's gone to be with Ronny, I called out. Hope you don't miss him too much. Fury lit Dagon's features. Then it cleared and he laughed.
Such a shame. He was so looking forward to getting another piece of you. You remember how Ronny and Fenkir used to love taking turns? I never understood how they bore all your sniveling enough to enjoy it, but enjoy it, they did.
Yes, this was the real Dagon, and his smirk made those memories all too vivid. He'd worn that same expression countless times while I was being abused. Those memories had fueled me with Fenkir, but now they cut me. I couldn't let that happen. I had to lose the despair and keep only the rage.
Know what I remember, Dagon?
Ian's tone was scathingly bright.
How you panted after me for weeks before I agreed to spend the night with you. Didn't turn out how you'd hoped, did it? When it was over, you still had blue balls, and I had your egg-sized blue diamond. Looks smashing on the mantle of my favorite house, by the way.
Dagon's expression became mottled with rage.
Fuck you!
Ian flashed a savage grin.
Oh, you tried. And failed.
Dagon tore off one of the remaining paratrooper pods and hurled it at Ian. He ducked it with a crowing sound.
Still sore about that, hm? You should be. I'm magnificent. Ask her.
That's why Dagon's been hunting you for decades? I let myself laugh out loud at the demon's palpable humiliation. Dagon had tried to wound me with the past. But while I dealt with that, Ian had made sure Dagon's strategy backfired. Wow, you got fucked all right, I went on mercilessly. Just not how you wanted, and let me assure you, you missed out. Ian grinned, continuing to fly toward the wooden roller coaster, while Dagon chased after us.
Diamonds valued at millions,
Ian called out to me.
Still wasn't worth cuddling and kissing him to get close enough to steal it.
We were almost at the roller coaster. Dagon was still furious, but he'd slowed down from his single-minded pursuit of us. I needed to get him mad enough to keep following. When we leave here, we're selling that diamond and donating the money to charity, I told Ian. We'll even make the donation in Dagon's name so everyone can thank him for it. Ian laughed.
Still treating what's mine as yours, I see.
I raised my voice to make sure Dagon caught every word of what I said next.
Embrace your new state of matrimony, honey.
That did it. Dagon zoomed toward us, his body upright as if rage kept his spine ramrod straight. I flew around the roller coaster, Ian right behind me. Dagon was almost in the blast zone. A little closer. He stopped as if he felt exactly where the blast radius of the salt bombs was located. Then he held out his arms in much the same way I had when I channeled the energy to make Fenkir stagger. I'd use that tactic on Dagon if he weren't too strong for it. Plus, I still had to conserve my power in case he tried freezing time again. But that wasn't what he was doing. Moments later, a shockwave hit me, though not from a time pause attempt. It had been from the force of 3 dozen demons instantly teleporting into our area. Ian ground out a curse while I stared at them in dismay. I looked back at Dagon in time to see him smile.
You didn't think it would be easy to kill me, did you?
Chapter 39.
Bugger.
Ian said the single word with all the vehemence I felt. Then he gave me a light push toward the horde.
You need to hold them and Dagon off by yourself for a few minutes. Something I have to do.
That's more important than this, I sputtered. His smile was a tight flash of fang.
Like you told me before, you have to trust me without arguing for once.
With that, he flew off, leaving me, Dagon, and the newly arrived demons staring after him. Dagon began to laugh so hard, it sounded like he pulled a muscle from it.
He left you to save his own skin. Girl, I'm enjoying your expression so much. I think I'll let Ian have a head start.
Then he whistled at the demons.
Bring her to me alive.
To me, he added,
You stole my last red dragon source, so I'm going to use your blood as my new one. And that's only one of many, many plans I have for you.
Then, like Ian, I'll have to disappoint you, I snapped, before turning toward the horde. Eesh, nearly 20 against 1 was terrible odds, no matter my strength. I set my jaw and zipped the bone knife into one of the many pockets in my cargo pants. I couldn't risk sheathing it in my belt because the belt could be torn free, and I couldn't risk it being pulled from my hands again. Not when I still needed it to kill Dagon. Besides, they'd been told not to kill me, and they felt like average soldiers to me, not upper echelon demons. There were other ways to level the playing field than risking my only demon bone knife. I flew over to them, staying out of their reach, but only just. Ian had said he needed time. I'd give him as much as I could. True to Dagon's taunt, he hadn't chased after Ian yet. No, he seemed to be settling in to watch the show with me and his demons. Go on. Try to teleport up here to get me, I taunted them, then laughed at the multiple failed results. Their attempts ate up only a couple of minutes, though. I needed something more dramatic to hold their attention longer. I'm guessing none of you can fly, but can any of you jump high enough to reach me? That resulted in several more attempts, some of them forcing me to fly higher in sudden aerial leaps. All the while, I kept up the taunts with comments like, almost, and you are so close, while getting closer to the Enterprise. It was a ride shaped like a Ferris wheel when it was upright, but was now abandoned on the ground, like a huge, multi-spiked metal wheel. I'm getting bored, so I'll make it easier for you, I said, landing dead center in the middle of the rust-coated ride. The demons vaulted over the remaining gondolas and countless metal arms that anchored the gondolas to its base. I sent my magic out. Not in a blast that would have warned them, but in drips that coated the side slowly enough to let two of the fastest demons jump me before it was even half finished. I defended against the worst of their blows, but I didn't fight back when even more demons joined in. All my energy was focused on spilling out more magic in non-alarming drips. Pain exploded everywhere. The blows were too fast to heal between them. Soon, my head sounded like a bag of stones grinding together. I was blind from the blood, and I fought not to puke up my pulverized organs. But my projection of helplessness galvanized the demons. From the sounds, all of them were probably on the sprawling right now. I could hear them shouting as they tried to force their way through the others to get their turn to beat me. When I felt my magic reach the end of the enormous wheel, I dropped to my knees and pulled the pin on the spell. Most of my magic wouldn't work on the demons, but it worked fine on inanimate objects. The wheel burst apart, as thousands of pounds of metal instantly turned into high-velocity shrapnel. I was so covered by demons, not a single piece tore into me. From the chorus of screams, the shrapnel hit everyone else. When the demons around me fell back in a belated attempt to shield themselves, I shot straight up so fast, only a few pieces of shrapnel hit me. Then I took out my bone knife, waited a few seconds until the shrapnel was no longer whirling about with tornado-like speed, and flew back down to stab out every eye I could. I was knee-deep in demon corpses when something slammed me from behind. I hurtled into the demon in front of me with enough force to flatten us both. I looked down, seeing the ragged metal edge of a sizable pole protruding from my stomach. It had gone right through me and into the brown-haired demon I'd landed on. My body was pinned, but my arms were still free. I stabbed the demon's eyes out before someone yanked my bone knife away. More agony exploded as the pole was lifted with me still on the other end like a skewered fish. I gritted my teeth hard enough to bite off a fang as I shoved myself forward with all my strength. It felt like the pole had been made from razor wire, but I didn't stop until I fell off the other end. Then I whirled, spitting my fang at the demon who'd done this to me. Dagon looked at the fang and arched a brow.
I've never cared enough to ask before, but do those grow back? I'll have two to bite you with in no time, I promised.
He took the pole he'd impaled me on and hurled it again. Instead of aiming for me, he skewered the demon next to him. Everyone's eyes bulged, mine included.
When I said bring her to me, it wasn't a suggestion, he told the demons in a blisteringly cheerful voice. If you make me get her myself, why do I need any of you alive?
I was grabbed from behind before I could twitch to fly away. Then the demons tore into me as if their lives depended on it, which they now knew they did. Soon it took all my strength to stay conscious and keep my limbs from being ripped off. Pain drenched me, far past my ability to concentrate enough to cast a spell. After a while, I wasn't even sure if I was still standing. Whatever Ian had left to do, I found myself thinking dazedly. It had better fucking dazzle me when he gets back. Then power hit me with the suddenness of a rogue wave. The beating stopped as the demons looked around to see what had caused it. I tried too, but there was too much blood in my eyes to see.
What?
I heard Dagon say. He sounded surprised. Was that a good thing or a bad thing? I swiped at my eyes and turned toward Dagon's voice. Several hard blinks later, I saw Ian flying toward us. He was about 30 meters away, surrounded by small, pale objects that circled him in the air. At first, I thought it was a flock of tiny white birds. When I blinked again, I realized they were bones. Human-looking ones. They were moving around Ian in faster and faster circles. Ian's lips were moving, too, but he was too far away for me to hear him. He must be doing a spell. Why? Ian knew that Dagon was too powerful for most spells to work on him. The bones suddenly exploded, forming into a pale cloud around Ian. As soon as they did, Ian stabbed himself in the chest with one of his silver knives and twisted the blade. If not for his demon brands, that would have killed him. Blood flowed out and shock filled me. I only knew one type of spell that required bones turning into dust and blood from the heart. A grave magic spell.
Ian, don't! I shouted.
He ignored me while his blood coated the powdered bones until the cloud that surrounded him was red. From the curse, Dagon muttered, He knew what type of spell Ian was attempting, too. More power blasted through the air as Ian began summoning the darkest of energies from beyond the grave. Gods, he must be trying to create a wraith. If he did, not even Dagon could stand against it. But grave magic was far more likely to kill its caster than be successful. That's why even I had never attempted it. Ian's brands might prevent the spell from killing him, but it could hurt Ian so badly he wouldn't be able to fight off a weak demon, let alone Dagon. I had to make sure Dagon didn't take advantage of that weakness. But to do that, I needed to get through these damn demons. Seizing on the distraction, I ripped the arm off the nearest one while he was still looking up at Ian. Then I stabbed it, fingers first, into his eyes when he swung back around. He screamed as both of them were pierced from his own twitching appendages. He fell onto me, eyes still smoking as he died. Demon bone was demon bone, whether or not skin was still attached to it. I held him in front of me as a shield, while tearing off more of his bones to use as weapons. I wished I still had my machete, but at some point one of the demons had ripped it from me. They no longer swarmed me from the front now that I had a weapon that could kill them. But there were still two demons clinging to my back, so I couldn't fly away yet. I threw myself backward, trying to get them off me by brute force. When I fell on them, I stabbed blindly at whatever was behind me. I ended up killing one out of sheer luck. With only one more clinging to me, I managed to get in the air. But then another demon snatched my leg and anchored me to the ground. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Dagon fly into Ian, punching, kicking, and stabbing him with a frenzy bordering on maniacal. Ian only protected his eyes as he fought, and all the while, his lips never stopped moving. A familiar power blasted out from Dagon. Just as fast, I blocked his third attempt to freeze time. Then a brutal blow returned my attention to the demon on my back. I let myself drop out of the air, using all my momentum, to give him the full force of our landing. Blood shot up around us, but he held on, teeth and claws tearing into me. I stabbed at every part I could reach while looking for something else I could use. In moments, more demons would pile on top of me. I didn't dare deplete more of my strength with another elaborate spell. I had to keep canceling out Dagon's spells against Ian. A demon running toward me leapt over a pile of metal shards between us. Yes, that! I sent a quick spell to fling the metal into his eyes and into the demon's eyes behind me. The shards blinded the running demon, and I tripped him when he came near. He fell on top of me. I slashed my makeshift bone knife through his eyes, then flung him at the next demon hurtling toward me. His body knocked him down. I took that split second to flip over and stab the eyes out of the demon beneath me, then leapt to my feet. I'd hacked my way through two more demons when Dagon's laugh made me whip my head up again. The red cloud around Ian had formed into two figures that were now clear enough to identify. Fenkir and Rani, I realized in disbelief. Ian had used their bones for this spell? You fool, Dagon chortled. Don't you know wraiths are made when the rage of a murdered person is yanked from their bones and given form? But I didn't kill Fenkir and Rani. You're raising creatures that will attack her. Dagon was right. Wraiths went after their murderers and no one else. Why would Ian raise wraiths from Fenkir and Rani's bones? They'd go straight for me as soon as the spell was finished, if Dagon didn't kill Ian first. Trust me without arguing for once. Ian's words were a reminder I didn't want in my appalled state. But I couldn't ignore the fact that Ian had trusted me when everything he'd known would have urged him not to. I did owe him the same. Even if everything I knew screamed at me to run for my life before he finished that spell. But if this ended up killing me, I'd make sure my first words to Ian after I came back from the dead were, I knew this was a bad idea. Chapter 40. Whatever happened, I couldn't afford to be incapacitated when Ian was done with that spell. I yanked a hunk of breastplate and rib from the demon body nearest me. Then I wrapped my hand around it so the rib bones poked out between my fingers. With that and the long, thin radius bone in my other hand, I started slashing at every demon near me. They fought back just as viciously, now ignoring Dagon's order not to kill me. They even used the same method I had and tore bones off their dead companions for weapons. I was slashed, stabbed, and sliced countless times, then healed only to have it happen again. Adrenaline, determination, and fury numbed most of the pain. The rest made me stagger as I tried to force them back far enough so I could fly away. Above all, I protected my eyes. Everything else I could heal or come back from. I still didn't want to test the theory that I couldn't come back from that. The demons around me were suddenly flung aside so hard many landed on their asses. My brief exultation vanished when I saw why. Two filmy forms streaked toward me. Icy power burst from them with such tremendous force it cleared everything in their path. Oh, fuck, was my single thought. Then the wraiths made from Fenkir and Rani's bones ripped into me. Time evaporated, so did distinct sensations. I didn't have separate body parts like two arms, two legs, a torso, and a head anymore. Instead, I was one exposed nerve that was being endlessly shredded, scorched with icy fire, and shredded again. Then that unbelievable agony vanished. I came to, gasping, while healing from wounds that had left no marks. Almost tentatively, a black-haired demon stepped out from the group that had gathered a few meters away, watching me. Then a shrill scream yanked everyone's attention upward. Ian floated near the top of the wooden roller coaster. His arms raised above his head and blood poured from his mouth and eyes. But he wasn't the one screaming. It was Dagon, because the two wraiths were now tearing into him. Holy and unholy gods, Ian had actually done it! I hadn't known wraiths could be redirected from the person who murdered them to someone else. Now I was seeing it with my own eyes. The demons seemed transfixed by it, too. They watched as the wraiths stabbed their bodies through Dagon in endless loops that had the demon convulsing so hard his arms and legs broke. So that's what they'd been doing to me, I thought numbly, almost pitying Dagon the horrifying pain. Almost. Then Ian's hands moved, the gestures too fast to track. The wraiths began carrying Dagon toward the roller coaster. As if that broke the trance, the dark-haired demon resumed his path toward me, but he kept glancing up. Clearly he'd rather keep staring at what was happening to Dagon than try to kill me, but he kept coming for me nonetheless. I attempted to fly away, cursing when I couldn't. The wraith's attack must have taken too much out of me. It took all my effort to scrounge around for more demon bone. I must have lost mine when the wraiths ripped through me. If I didn't find some, I'd be in trouble. Soon, more demons would get back to trying to kill me, once they stopped watching the wraiths and Dagon. I'd grabbed a handful of what looked like half-crushed shin bones before throwing them away when they folded, too broken to be lethal. Then incredibly, I saw my demon bone knife a few meters away, the gleam from its steel-reinforced back practically winking at me in the moonlight. One of the demons must have torn it free from my pocket while fighting me. Instead of picking it up, he had left the knife on the ground. I lunged for it, right as the black-haired demon coming after me saw it too. Both of us scrambled to get the knife. It skidded out of our grasp as our struggles knocked it away. Now! Ian's shout jerked my head up. Detonate! Detonate! I shoved the demon off me to grab the bulky object in the pocket of my cargo pants. Another demon jumped on my back, tearing into me with something that burned as if I was being splashed with acid. I didn't defend myself, keeping my focus on pressing every part of the detonator within my pocket. It felt broken from the various fights. I wasn't sure if it still worked, but I had to try. After a few frantic seconds, I felt a dip in the metal and pushed inward, hard. Explosions rocked the roller coaster as our salt bombs went off. There were so many they turned the air white. We'd also spelled them to increase their distance and velocity. Dagon's new shriek when salt blasted into him was sweet music. More salt bombs near the roller coaster's base shot out far enough to strafe the demons surrounding me. Their screams soon drowned out Dagon's. I took advantage of their writhing to force myself free and grab my bone knife. I still couldn't fly, but I managed several jumps as the wooden skeleton of the roller coaster toppled over, the base crumbling with the detonation. "Bone knife!" Ian shouted. "Now!" I had one, but how was I going to get it to him? I still couldn't fly. But even scalded all over with salt while being strafed with wraiths, Dagon had started to struggle. I had no idea how he managed it. He must be far, far stronger than I'd realized. Ian had clearly used everything he had to wield the grave magic enough to do the unthinkable and force the wraiths off me and onto Dagon. Now he looked as if he couldn't hold himself aloft in the sky much longer. Hold on, I shouted back. I'm coming! I pulled extra energy from the only water source I could find, a leftover sewer tank buried beneath the park. It didn't have much in it, but I took everything. Then I flung myself into the air without knowing if I'd rise or splat to the ground. I rose. Ian let out a roar when he saw it. Then he managed to fly over to Dagon and get so close the Wraith's carnage tore into him too. Right as I reached them, he flipped Dagon over so the demon was facing me. Dagon's screams were white noise. All I was focused on was his eyes. I hit one at full force, my momentum driving the bone knife deep into his skull. His shriek ruptured my eardrums, causing instant deafness. I ripped the knife out and rammed it into Dagon's other eye without hearing his new scream. Smoke burst from that too, and I saw, rather than heard, Ian's shout. Then Ian's arms fell away, and he dropped from the air. Dagon dropped too, both eyes still smoking as he hit the ground very near to Ian. Both men hit hard and didn't move. Then light burst from Dagon, and the wraiths disappeared. His body also began shrinking into itself, proving he was finally, truly, dead. I couldn't celebrate. I was too worried about Ian. I flew down, landing hard enough to crack the ground next to him. Then I touched Ian's back. He wasn't moving. I was struck with fear over what I'd find when I turned him over. He'd landed on his stomach, his arm flung over the part of his face that wasn't pressed into the concrete. He felt cold. God, so cold. What if Dagon had done something as a final cruel taunt? What if he'd spelled himself so that if he died, Ian died too? Ian. I ran my hand along his back, gulping when he didn't move or speak. Ian, wake up. He rolled over, and my heart jumped as if struck with 1,000 volts. Then he sat up, his forearm still pressed against his forehead.
Remind me never to attempt grave magic again, he moaned. That hurt too much even for me to enjoy.
I grasped his free hand and pressed it to my chest. I would have hugged him, but I was afraid that would cause him more pain. You're really okay? What a stupid question. He just said he wasn't. But I needed to hear his voice again, even if it was only to answer my ridiculous query. What I should be doing is finishing off the rest of the demons before they ceased being incapacitated from the salt bombs. Not sitting here clutching Ian's hand while unable to look away from his face. And I would do that in a minute.
Mostly.
He gave me a faint smile.
Twisting the Wraith spell to send them after Dagon still has me all sixes and sevens, but I'll recover. Good thing it worked.
Yes, good thing, I breathed. Though you should never have attempted it. That spell could have gotten you killed in several different ways. His smile faded.
We were outnumbered. Dagon wasn't taking our bait, and he was more powerful than either of us anticipated. It was a choice of possible dying versus absolutely dying. Given the choice, I'd always rather go down fighting.
I brushed my lips over his knuckles. So would I. Then, even though it was the last thing I wanted to do, I released his hand. Speaking of fighting, those demons screeching over their salt wounds aren't going to kill themselves. Stay here. I'll be back after I take care of them. This time, his smile looked more like the usual Ian, half teasing, half enticing.
Give me a moment and I'll join you. Can't have you tiring yourself out. We have a celebration to...
His smile froze and he stopped speaking so abruptly. I looked back at the demons to see if one of them had gotten up and started doing something threatening. But no, they were all still writhing on the ground, more than 30 meters away. Then I looked back at Ian and screamed. His right eye was now black and smoking. Chapter 41. Ian's head drooped and he listed to the side. That's when I saw the hilt of a bone knife sticking out of the back of his head. Dagon, how was rising up behind Ian. His eyes, healed back to their icy blue color, stared right at me as he shoved another blade into the back of Ian's skull. Don't! My scream broke from sheer panic. Please stop! Dagon did, though his hand remained on the knife that was half-buried in Ian's skull. Shudders racked Ian, filling me with relief and rage. Those shudders meant the second knife hadn't bitten too deeply yet. He still had a chance. A little smile played on Dagon's lips as he leaned over so he could see me fully past Ian's shoulder.
"What will you give me if I don't kill him, girl?"
Ian's harsh grunt was barely coherent, but his remaining eye blazed with green, and his expression translated it plainly. "Don't."
"Eva,"
Ian forced out, his stare drilling into mine.
"By our Elias, I command you."
I choked back a sob as I pieced together what he was trying to say. "You can't command me to leave by the power of the spell binding us. I got out of its hold almost 2 weeks ago when I killed the body it was tied to." Incredibly, a smile ticked the corner of Ian's mouth.
"Eat,"
he said, approval clear in the broken word. Tears overflowed, and I didn't care that they made Dagon grin. "Yes, I cheated. I didn't trust you then, so I wasn't about to make a deal I couldn't get out of." Dagon tapped the hilt of the bone knife. Anguish flashed across Ian's face before he tried to conceal it.
"If you want him to live,"
Dagon purred,
"you'll make another deal, girl. Only this one you won't get out of."
Of course Dagon wanted my soul, my abilities, my subjugation, or all three. Could I stall him while I siphoned enough power to free Ian? There was no lake, pond, or other water source nearby. But if I stretched my senses, I might be able to find one farther away that I could tap into. I had to try. "How did you survive getting your eyes stabbed out? You couldn't have been playing dead. The wraiths vanished as the spell broke with your death and your body started decomposing. I had no idea you were so powerful. Do other people know?" His laugh was a delighted one, chilling me because it usually heralded horrible things to come. I tried to ignore it as I sent my senses outward, skipping over a dried-up well that had once been used for this park, but wouldn't help me now.
"Almost no one does."
Dagon's tone was as carefree as a child's. He even shifted to make himself more comfortable. Then he tapped the knife hilt again as if to warn Ian not to move.
"I suppose I have you to thank for the idea."
"Me?" What felt like it used to be a stream was now dried into the merest trickle. Damned climate change. I pulled what little I could from that and kept searching.
"All your dying and coming back."
For the barest instant, hatred filled Dagon's expression. Then his bright smile was back.
"Such incredible power, wasted on a half-mortal brat. Still, if one as pathetic as you could beat death, I could too. Demons already had access to the right power source. We'd just been transferring it instead of harvesting it."
Power source? Did he mean the magic that all demons inherently had? But demons didn't transfer magic. They enhanced their abilities with it. Though they did transfer something else. "Souls?" I asked. So sickened by the prospect, I stopped searching for water for a second. Now his laugh sounded genuine.
"Very good."
Then his laughter cut off, and his deceptively youthful features twisted with all the rage that his eons of living had allowed him to store up.
"And you cost me two. One to harvest for my resurrection, one to heal my body so I wasn't trapped inside a half-rotten corpse. Souls aren't as easy to come by anymore, girl. People are more loath to bargain them away. I also have to send some up the chain or I'll draw suspicion. That's why you're now going to sell me yours. Unless you'd rather see your lover die."
Dagon tapped the knife hilt again, harder. Ian's features tightened until his cheekbones stood out in sharp relief and his jaw looked carved from steel. His gaze lasered on me, not a hint of pleading for his life in it. Instead, defiance blazed out. "Don't you dare," that look said. "Sod Dagon and his filthy deals." I understood that rage. Oh, how I understood it. I also hated the idea of giving Dagon anything he wanted, especially this. but as I stared at Ian, I found myself unable to tell Dagon. I wouldn't do it. There are ways out of deals like this, I rationalized. Ian had almost gotten out of his deal, except for Dagon's surprise resurrection trick. For all I knew, my father might be able to help me get my soul back too. Furthermore, I didn't stay dead after I died. Dagon would have a much harder time trying to collect a soul from someone who couldn't be killed. I still had a chance if I did this. If I said no, Ian didn't. I'm sorry, I whispered to Ian. I don't want to either, but I can't just let you die. Dagon began to smile. That rage and tightness left Ian's face. His expression filled with a wistful sort of tenderness that made no sense considering our terrible circumstances. Ian said, struggling to get each syllable out. Then he closed his eye. What? I asked softly. I was still trying to translate what he'd said, when Ian slammed his head backward, the violent motion ramming Dagon's knife all the way through his remaining eye. Chapter 42. Smoke burst from Ian's ruptured eye. At once, his body began to collapse into itself. That silky, ivory skin turning to leather that cracked and split until his features were unrecognizable. Horror froze me into immobility, while my mind screamed endless denials. Then pain roared through me, until I felt like my bones had been replaced with a storm of knives. That spoiled my plans, Dagon said disgustedly. I was going to kill him after you agreed, then laugh at you while I reneged. Ah, well. His hands clamped around Ian's head.
At least he's still good for something else.
He sealed his mouth over the back of Ian's head and inhaled deeply. Something bright flashed for an instant before a glow appeared in Dagon's throat. He dropped Ian's head, swallowed that glow, then belched as if he'd just shotgunned a beer.
His soul was tasty.
Something broke inside me. Not grief. That waited beneath my pain and rage, patient and far deadlier than both. No, it wasn't that. All but one of the chains that held down the thing Tenok warned me about for thousands of years had just snapped. You cannot control the full power of your other nature, Veritas. It's too strong. Siphon away bits of it if you must, but always, always keep the rest of it chained. Promise me. Several of those chains had snapped when Tenok died. Only my promise had kept me from breaking the last few. Now only one strained against the force surging beneath it. I might have thrown more chains over it. I'd promised Tenok I always would. But Dagon kept smacking his lips, mocking my pain with the same malevolent joy he'd shown me and countless others. And at the same time, I realized what Ian had been trying to tell me when he'd said, Udv-Avd-U. I hadn't understood the garbled words at first, but now they blazed across my mind with crystalline clarity. Could have loved you. Ian had fought to get those words out. He'd fought again when he denied Dagon the final taunt the demon had intended. Ian must have known Dagon's offer to spare him was no more than a cruel trick, despite my being too desperate to see that. Given the choice, I'd always rather go down fighting, he'd said mere minutes ago. From the moment I'd met him to his very last moment, he'd proven that. Now he was gone. Murdered by the same demon who'd stolen far, far too much from me. A demon who was still smacking his lips as if trying to draw out the very last drops of my pain for his delight. Could have loved you. I could have loved you, too, I said out loud, ignoring Dagon's surprised,
huh?
In response, Then I snapped that last chain myself. Power crashed into every part of me. It gushed until my skin split, healed, then split again, as if my body was too small to contain it. My vision went black, but it didn't matter. All at once, I could feel everything around me. More than that, I could feel the thrum of water from numerous sources, some very near, some several kilometers away. The energy in the water called to me, twining around that ever-growing force as if begging to be a part of it. I didn't attempt to fly, but I was suddenly in the air. Dagon grabbed me, trying to pull me back down. My eyes opened, bathing him in brilliant beams of silver. He let me go, dropping to the ground. Then he began to back away, slowly.
"Girl," he said in a lower, almost cautious tone.
I concentrated on the water closest to me, marveling that I had never considered using it from these sources before. Why hadn't I? It had been right within my grasp this whole time. "That's not my name," I growled. Then I ripped out all the water from Dagon's body. It came out bloody, but so much more powerful than what I'd find in an ordinary pond or stream. I stripped the considerable energy from it, ignoring the way Dagon's scream turned hoarse as his throat and the rest of him instantly desiccated. Then I kept the bloody water floating around me, without needing a second thought to do so. That had been easy. What else could I do? The demons. Their screams choked off into odd hissing sounds as their bodies abruptly went dry. Now I had a lot of water at my disposal. I pulled the energy out of it and played with the remainder. Some I turned into steam and scalded the dry flesh off Dagon and the other demons. Other parts I kept swirling in the air around me. But the steam rehydrated Dagon and the other demons more than I preferred. I stopped scalding them to rip out both the old and the new water they'd healed enough to regenerate. I was focused on pulling all the energy from it when I sensed something hurtling toward my eye. I froze it into place without thinking about whether I could. I just did. Then I looked at the bone knife I'd just encased in ice. It floated mere centimeters from my eye, its sharp point steel red. A glance down confirmed it was one of the same knives that had killed Ian. Dagon had ripped them from Ian's head, keeping one while throwing the other at me. I stared at Ian's remains through the force that had overtaken me. It registered my grief, but in an insulated way, filtering the facts through while leaving emotions behind. Dagon had murdered the man I considered mine. He had also tried to murder me. I would punish him for that. I would also punish all who'd helped him do it. It was what they deserved. I started with the demons, sending the water hovering near me, down in a rush that coated the ground around them. Then I pulled it back up, making sure the demons saw the new articles it contained. They tried to run when they saw the pieces of bone from the skeletons of their slain, but their bodies were too dry, so they could only shuffle. A few tried to teleport out. If they weren't so weak, it would have worked. Ian was dead, so every part of the spell fused in his magic would have died too. But I'd ripped too much water and energy from them to teleport. I turned the water containing demon bone into jagged bits of ice. Then I rammed that into their eyes. Their screams reached a near-simultaneous crescendo before silencing with a finality that gave me a sense of resolution versus satisfaction. After they were dead, I pulled all those bits of bones out of their eyes and covered them with more ice. Then I aimed those new pieces at Dagon, who was trying to fly and couldn't. I don't know how many extra souls you have in you to burn through before you stay dead, I told him in a calm voice. But I'm going to find out. Dagon spun around, holding both hands over his eyes to protect them. If you kill me, you'll never see Ian again. I yanked the last bits of water out of the dead demons and used it to form an ice shield that knocked Dagon down when it hit him. I piled more ice on top of him, skipping only the parts that contained demon bone shards. Those I poised over him in every direction he might attempt to escape. After all that, I floated down to him. His hands were still over his eyes.
That was fine. I didn't mind stabbing the ice weapons through them.
You already made sure I'd never see Ian again when you killed him and swallowed his soul. You have nothing left to threaten me with or bargain with me for, demon.
The ice I'd piled over him kept Dagon from moving his arms, but his fingers flicked in the general direction of Ian's corpse.
If a harvested soul has the power to bring me back from the dead, it can bring him back too.
He was attempting to bargain. How interesting. You're saying you'd harvest someone else's soul to resurrect Ian?
His tone grew crafty.
Demons like me have the power to transfer souls from one place to another. Why couldn't I resurrect Ian by harvesting the power from someone else's soul and put Ian's soul back in his body and use another one to heal him good as new? But kill me, and you kill Ian's last chance to be alive again.
My laughter was knives sharpening against each other. Even insulated by the incredible power of my other nature, grief found its way to me.
You probably could do all that, but you won't. I almost took your word about saving Ian's life earlier. Look how that turned out for me.
More slivers of pain slipped in, drawn by the grief spreading like poison through me. Talking about Ian was dangerous. It fueled my vampire half, which was screaming and beating against its new cage with all its might. I could drown that half with more of this power. I should do that. It would insulate me from its weakness, grief, and pain. When had it ever brought me anything except those three?
I can bring Ian back,
Dagon said, sounding desperate now. Only me.
Kill me, and Ian stays dead forever.
The demon would say anything to save his own life. Pathetic. Why hadn't I killed him already? Why wasn't I sending the bone-encased ice knives into his eyes right this moment? Could have loved you. Could have loved you. Could have loved you. The new cage housing my vampire half shattered. So did the ice knives. Water and bits of bones rained over Dagon as all my pain, grief, hope, love, fears, everything that was me roared back on top. It shoved my other nature beneath it, winding countless chains over it to keep it down. Gods, it burned to feel everything again. For a moment, I didn't think I could stand it. At once, that powerful numbness tempted me. If you let me free, it's promised, I will protect you from all of this. I couldn't. Not if Ian still had a chance. I channeled all my scorching feelings at it, their intensity forcing it back and forming ever more chains over it. I don't trust you, Dagon, but there is someone who might be able to do everything you said, I found myself saying. Dagon peeked out from behind his hand, eyes widening at the water and bone fragments now covering him.
Don't bother.
Even soaked with bloody water, his laugh was a dry wheeze.
Your father doesn't care enough to help you.
He might not, I agreed, continuing to shove my other half down and fling every inner chain I had over it so it wouldn't control me again.
But I'm going to find out.
Chapter 43. I jumped on Dagon before he healed enough to attempt teleporting. The web around the park had fractured with Ian's death since his magic had powered some of it. Then I grabbed two larger pieces of demon bone from the many shards around him.
Before he could react, I stabbed one through his eye and held the shard over his remaining eye. Dagon screamed, cursing and threatening me in more languages than even I knew about how I'd regret this. I ignored him as I twisted the blade in his smoking, blackened eye socket. Slowly, blood began to drip out. I kept twisting until I had the amount I needed. Only blood from someone at the edge of death would work for this ritual. Then I left the knife in his eye socket to give myself a free hand. I wet my finger in his dripping blood, then began drawing the first of a dozen symbols that would summon the Warden of the Gateway to the Netherworld. Yes, I could kill myself to get to him faster, but that would mean leaving Dagon alone and giving him a chance to escape. I wasn't doing that. Not with Ian's soul inside him. Each time I finished a symbol, white-hot pain shot through me. That pain grew until it felt as if I'd submerged my body into a pool of fire. By the ninth symbol, I was trembling from it, and I fought to keep those shakes from my hand. Each symbol had to be flawless, or I'd need to do this all over again. Dagon shifted beneath me, almost causing me to miss a stroke in the tenth symbol. I shoved the bone shard closer until it nicked the jelly in his eye. Don't think I won't kill you before I let you leave. And if you burn up Ian's soul to resurrect yourself, I'll stab your eyes out 1,000 times if needed until I know you'll stay dead. Fool, Dagon hissed. This will gain you nothing, even if you do succeed. Ian never cared for you. He only pretended to, so he could use your affection to his best advantage. That's what Ian does. He did the same to me, remember? A month ago, I would have agreed with Dagon. Now I knew better. I let out a grunt as I finished the tenth symbol. Are you trying to talk me into killing you this instant instead of waiting to see if I can save Ian? If so, don't bother. I'm trying to speak sense to you, he snapped. Release me. I'll take my life as reimbursement for my murdered men and count the score even between us. That is the best deal you could possibly make. I don't think so. I began drawing the 11th symbol. More agony sliced into me, and my vision briefly went dark. When it returned, Dagon had tilted his head. Now his eye was a centimeter away from the bone shard instead of beneath it. I shoved it back until a pearl of crimson touched the tip. Move again and you're dead. Then I tried to clear my mind from the merciless pain. One more symbol. That's all I needed. My hand shook as I wet my finger in Dagon's blood. It still shook when I began to lower it to draw. The blood wavered, about to spill and ruin the spell. I held it over Dagon's chest so if that crimson drop fell, it wouldn't mar the other symbols. What if I couldn't do this? I had never attempted to summon my father this way before. I only knew this spell because Denok had forced me to learn it. It was how he'd summoned the Warden after he'd first rescued me. If I had to start over while in this much pain, I'd never be able to complete this ritual. But I could use my other nature to finish this last symbol. Pain wouldn't register to me then, nor would the fear I felt over what would happen to Ian if I failed. I could do that. I only had to let my other half back on top for an instant. It surged against its chains, sensing freedom. I felt one of them snap and I shuddered. Then I threw more over it with force of sheer will. Tenok had warned me what would happen if I ever fully let this nature out. Looked like he'd been right. I'd siphoned power as needed from it before, but now that it had gotten a taste of being in control, nothing less would probably satisfy it. And I shouldn't have to need it to complete this ritual. Tenok had done this when he first saved me without having a more powerful other nature. Menkaris had done it once too, though he denied it to avoid being punished by the council. Ian hadn't, but he'd mastered a grave magic spell well enough to redirect the wraiths from me to Dagon, all without needing a half-celestial nature of indeterminate origin for help. If they could do those things with vampire power alone, I could too. I wouldn't risk everything simply because using my other nature was easier at this particular moment. I took a breath to steady myself, giving Dagon one last warning glance. Then, whole body shuddering from geysers of agony going off inside me, I forced my hand steady as I dipped it into Dagon's blood again. What I'd had before.